Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Polar bears and camels. The two have almost nothing in common, nor do they relate typically to a sermon. But polar bears are carnivores. Camels eat only grass and vegetation. Polar bears live alone and isolated. Camels are herd animals. They live together. Though I believe few would argue that the climates in which they live are both barren and harsh. Of course they are. Polar bears live in the extreme Arctic. Camels live in the extreme desert. Both polar bears and camels inhabit those extreme wilderness environments that are very, very difficult to live in. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. The time in which we take inventory of our lives by asking God's forgiveness, by denying ourselves, with our devotion to prayer, and all of that in preparation for the great feast of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter morning. So throughout the next 40 days, we acknowledge the deep need for salvation that we obtain through Jesus Christ alone. This 40 days represents the 40 years in the wilderness the people of Israel endured after the Exodus. And it represents the 40 days in which our Savior was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Polar bears live in the wilderness. It's arid, it's harsh, it's cold, it's bitter. There's little food and extreme isolation. Camels live in the wilderness. Arid, harsh, hot, no food, and no water. Though both of the animals are created to survive and to live in such environments, we are not. We were not created to live in such harsh wilderness environments. God's very good creation, people, you and I, were created with a purpose, for a reason. Famously, the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is the purpose of life? The answer being to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Not to live in the harsh wilderness, cold, barren, oppressive. Mankind was created in the image and likeness of God for the purpose of knowing God's mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, and His salvation. But as every one of us knows, we too live in the extreme wilderness during portions of our lives. There are some here today who have been in the wilderness for many years, asking God to provide healing from constant physical pain and poor health. The wilderness for you may be a broken relationship that is seemingly beyond repair. The wilderness may be a new diagnosis or recurrent symptoms that are physically, emotionally, and spiritually devastating. The wilderness may be seasons of depression, anxiety, or shame. The wilderness may be financial trouble. The loss of a loved one. Something terrible that has been done to you against your will. The wilderness may be addiction. the struggles of a failing marriage, the harsh and seemingly unendless cycles of our own sins coming back to the surface. We all suffer. Every one of us suffers in many different ways and at different times through extreme wilderness situations where we were not meant to be. Harsh, cold, no end in sight, oppressively hot, no food, no water, no relief. Friends, we were not created as God's very good creation to live in such environments. This is why Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. The Gospel of Mark recounts quite briefly the temptation of Jesus. Just two sentences. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. If we read that too fast, we'll skip right over it. Luke and Mark go into very more detailed accounts of the temptation of Jesus, each explaining each temptation that Satan had to Jesus. Mark doesn't linger on that. He tells us that Jesus was immediately sent into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. I think the reason for this is the Gospel of Mark wants us to know a couple of very important things. Number one, God is in control. The Lord is in control. And that God is always present during the times of struggle. God is in control and God is present. Our time in the wilderness will certainly be different than Jesus' time in the wilderness. We're not Jesus. But the Lord is there for us during our times of pain and suffering. And we read also that Jesus was prepared for such a time as this. He was prepared for such a time as this in his baptism. He was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended down upon him like a dove, and a voice boomed from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." He wasn't led into the wilderness to be alone. The Trinity was always present, Father, Son, and Spirit, to be able to withstand every temptation that would come along the way, and to know that we can know God is the one who is in control and will never leave us abandoned. Our temptations, our times of wilderness are not a sign that God has abandoned us. God didn't abandon Jesus in the wilderness. God has not abandoned us in our times of suffering. They're not a sign that God does not love us any longer. And they're certainly not a sign that God is nowhere to be found. In fact, that type of thinking is exactly what Satan wants. That is part of Satan's greatest weapon, part of his greatest temptation, being indifferent to God. Satan only wants us to be indifferent to God, to not even think about him. Rather, because Jesus was led into the wilderness and was able to withstand every temptation, we have the comfort to know that he is with us in every temptation, that he is with us in our suffering as well. The Lord is present. The Lord is in control. He will never leave us, abandon us, nor forsake us. He is the one who gave his life for your life. He is the one who resurrected from the grave for you, for me, for all of us. And ultimately, he is the one who defeated Satan in every temptation, in every wilderness that we could ever experience. The angels were ministering to him. He was not alone. This is a great hope for us. This is a great hope for me and you that he will never leave, abandon, or forsake us. The Lord sends heavenly angels into our lives, absolutely. And we may never know when or what that looks like. But the Lord will also send people into our lives. At the right time, the right place, in times of great suffering, in times that we needed the most divine appointments, if you will. Scripture is full of examples of people helping other people in times of need. Jethro helping Moses. Nathan holding David accountable. Ezra and Nehemiah working together through difficulty and sadness. Jesus coming to the side of Mary and Martha to mourn with them when their brother Lazarus died. Through the great gift of the Holy Spirit, the unification of repentant believers, we come together to help each other through difficulties, through sufferings, through temptations, through sins that plague us as individuals and that plague the world. This is one of the great reasons that we do this Lenten prayer partner time during the season of Lent, to help each other through these times. So that we, as the body of Christ, together can know we're not alone. We're not abandoned or forsaken because we know that we have the Lord. We know that we have, that Jesus died for us for our sins on the cross to redeem the world. We know that. But then we can experience that through the prayers and love of another. This is what we celebrate during this time of Lent. We ask for prayer for a specific reason. For a specific reason. And we hand that prayer over. First, we hand that prayer over to the Lord. And then we hand it over to a friend to help us through. This is why we need a Savior. To go through the times of wilderness, of struggle, of temptation, of suffering. This is why we need the entirety of the body of Christ. To pray for one another, to hold each other accountable, to help each other through, to mourn together, to work together, to worship the Lord together. By ourselves, we cannot do this. We cannot do this of our own accord or by ourselves. By ourselves, the time in the wilderness is claustrophobic. By ourselves, the time in the wilderness is time alone, is isolation. It is harsh and oppressive and cruel. One moment of grief, if we try to handle it on our own, one moment of grief or sorrow or depression or shame or guilt or suffering can multiply and infect us for all of our days. Alone, we imagine that this will never go away. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we are prepared. We are prepared in our own baptism, because we are baptized in the baptism of Jesus, to the same baptism. That we will never be alone in our suffering, that we will be cleansed from our sins, that we will be healed, forgiven, and set free by his shed blood on the cross. We are united in the power of the Holy Spirit to never be alone in our wilderness again. So I invite you today and throughout this season of Lent to remember that we need a Savior. That we need the Savior to come into our lives. That we need to repent and confess and be with one another. To remember that Jesus loves us so much that he would willingly go to the cross and die to reconcile us to God and to each other. And that together we have a body that will help us through those times of suffering in the wilderness. Amen.
Love could remember no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would it wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood near the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is